This week in the Wicked Wardrobe, I have the fabulous Pirate. Hi, hi, how you going?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm very, very well. This is exciting, but because we kind of know each other, but we don't
Yeah.
really, haven't really had that much of a chance to sort of chat. So, thanks for being here. Thanks for getting in my ears.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. So I was keen to introduce to people who don't know who you are. Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about you and how you contribute to the erotic and non-erotic audio space?
Sure. So I'm pirate underscore friend underscore 67. It's a lot to say.
Yep.
But I can just people just call me pirate, just make it
Yep.
easy. And I'm only really recording audios.
Okay.
I used to write for fun a long time ago.
All right.
A long time ago, but I haven't in a while, so I've lost all that confidence. But I have some
Oh.
ideas bouncing around in my head, so I don't know if I'll ever write scripts. But it always like I totally respect the people who write the scripts that I can voice because man, they're all amazing.
Yeah, right. Script
And I
writers.
don't know if I could ever
Yeah.
compete.
But what, why did you, was there a reason you stopped writing?
I stopped being so self-involved, maybe. I don't know. It was like it was before blogs were called blogs.
Okay.
Back in the day,
Yeah.
I used to have like an online blog.
Okay. Yeah.
and I had like a decent enough following, I guess, but I don't know, stopped being so self-involved and dramatic. And stopped needing to tell everybody all my problems all the time.
So that was your form of writing. It wasn't specifically like scripts or
No,
erotic
just
content. Okay,
like,
just writing in
yeah.
general.
And I would sometimes do some like creative writing
Oh, yeah.
things on there, like stories within complaining about my life. And I had other blogs for just my short stories and stuff like that. And
Okay.
those were lost to the ether, but that was like when I was in my early 20s, and
Yeah.
that was a
Yeah, I
ago, so.
get things sort of go by the wayside, don't they? It would seem
Yeah.
at times, and real life prevails,
Right.
and we have to, God damn it, we have to adult.
Right. Sometimes
Yeah.
you just gotta stop spending your entire time on the computer, I guess. And now I spend all my
Yeah.
time on
It's
the
just a different kind of
phone.
computer now.
Right. Just one I can bring with me.
Oh my God, yes, I do worry for the current generation. It's like, do you have any clue? No. Oh, well,
Right.
that's great. How long have you been recording audio then?
So I've only been doing this for like 2.5, maybe almost 3 months.
Yeah.
Not very long. But I've been listening for a long time. I think I found my first erotic audio, like 15 years ago or something. Like it
Wow.
was a long time
Yeah.
ago.
And where was that? How
And
did you come upon that?
oh, I
What led you to
think
find it?
I just must have been looking for there was this, what is it? It was like this website. I can't remember the name of it. But it was like videos of people having orgasms, but it was just their faces.
Oh, it's called I'll find it. Sorry, keep talking. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Right. So I saw that and I was like, oh, this is so hot. This is so much hotter than like regular porn. 'Cause this like
Yeah.
I can imagine what's going on below them, and I can really sort of have a better idea of me doing that to them. So I think I was looking for more stuff like that, where it was like, interactive porn, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
And ended up finding erotic audios, and that was someone who like his stuff was really immersive, and I remember messaging him to say. I think it might have even been on Literotica, now that I think
Yeah.
about it. I know I definitely had like a long home in Literotica, just like lurking and listening to people. But I remember sending him a message being like, this is really great. This is, I was so excited, or whatever, probably oversharing. And And then he messaged me back, like, what was your favorite part? And I was like, I can't go on the internet anymore. I have to leave. This is too embarrassing. Like, I can't possibly respond to this guy. No.
Why? No, just was it all too real?
Right. I think it's like suddenly this guy wants to interact with me, and I don't like, no, that just shatters my image of it or whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But, and also, like, I don't know, it was such a new thing. Like, it wasn't anything I had heard of before. Nobody that I knew was into anything like that. So I was like, oh, clearly we're all freaks that interact together, that like listen to other people have orgasms or whatever.
Yeah.
And clearly I was wrong.
Yes.
All these years later.
You might have just been a bit ahead of the times, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. But I definitely just was like, oh, I can't. This is because it's, you know, it's porn. It's not like you're supposed to be embarrassed about it or whatever.
The social taboo of it all is, yeah, it's certainly changed, hasn't it?
I was younger then too. It was back in the days of being in my 20s.
Yeah.
It was definitely like, I've just been listening for years and found GWA. I'd bounced back and forth sort of between Lit Erotica and GWA. I knew GWA often could make it easier for me to search for something that I was looking for, but I never had an account. So once things started getting more difficult to look at GWA while not having an account, like having to prove that you're 18 and stuff have an account to verify that you're 18.
Yeah.
I finally made an account that I immediately forgot the password to.
Oh my god, no.
So a couple months ago I reset everything, and then because the username that I had picked was more like the things that I use in my everyday life, I was like, I don't want to necessarily be found. So yeah. I knew that I wanted to have pirate something. Here's where my name comes from.
Okay.
Listen to all your podcasts. I know some of your questions.
Yeah, I know you and I have sort of briefly talked about it, but I'm sure, it's not a, I don't know, I always find it really interesting to know how people came up with their name, whether they intended to fall into sort of recording or being amongst this. Clearly some people didn't. A pirate, always some sort of form of pirate.
Right. Yeah. I definitely didn't plan on recording until I had maybe a couple drinks and then was like, fuck it, I'm gonna record a verification audio and see what happens. But
love it.
Yeah, I literally for anybody listening, I just clicked the random button until something pirate showed up, and then I was like, sold. Yeah, I can be your friend, that's fine.
I love that. So with that sort of anonymity, it's not something, you know, that your people may know you as in your real life. Do people know in your real life that you record erotic audio?
My husband knows, and he's fully supportive. He's asexual, so this is something that he's come to terms with over the past year.
Right.
It's been an issue in our relationship over the years.
Sure. Yeah.
So him coming to that realization that like he feels differently about sex than I do, and it's not like anybody's fault necessarily, has really sort of opened up some doors for both of us. And while he is figuring out his side of that, I have my own.
You're figuring out your side of it?
I guess once he had known that I had listened to erotic audios, because it was something that I had been trying to introduce to him to, you know, get him interested in sexy times.
Sure.
And now we know why he wasn't ever really that all that into it, because he just doesn't care. But I told him that I had decided that I was going to try and record something, and he said, okay, that's cool, have fun. I don't get it, porn, whatever. So I did, and like, it was just a ramble fap the first time I did anything. And I just felt, for the first time in a long time, I felt like empowered and sexy, and you know, like I could do anything. And I told him all those things that it helped me feel, and he was like, awesome, that's awesome, do that, keep doing that, because that's helping you. And that will prevent you from leaving me for someone who will have sex with you.
I mean, these, so this is very real. This is all very, very real. This is real life shit, right? And and wow, therapeutic benefits of this space, I fully believe in. I'm sure we're not alone in that, in that sort of line of thinking. But how how amazing that that's happened for you on a personal level, that you've reconnected with that part of yourself. Fantastic, right?
And I mean, I could, it's not even about like the interaction with listeners or anything like that. It's just like this sort of presentation of myself is helping to build that self-confidence, and like anybody else that I get to talk to and interact with as a result of that is just this awesome bonus. And like, I'm making amazing friends and having a fucking ball. This is just like the greatest year of my life.
I am so glad to hear that, because you know, there's this space, as in any community, ebbs and flows, and it can be problematic at times, and there's ups and downs, and all of that. But this is what I love about doing this sort of thing, this whole sort of having a chat with people, is finding out the good times, the good stuff, the, you know, the benefits, the, you know, and wow, that's I'm really, really, really pleased to hear that it's been of, you know, a personal benefit to you. And maybe even just, dare I say it, helps with, you know, your own personal mental well-being. I know it does for me. I certainly connect in that sort of way, and just like,
dopamine's is that's what's up, man.
Totally. We're here for the dopamine, all of it,
right?
So, you know, as everybody's on the same page, and you know, there's all manner of consent and, you know, agreement, and just like, let's get it on, you know.
I was honestly, once I started actually interacting with the community, I was so surprised at like how supportive everyone is, and how consent is such a big deal for everyone involved. It's not even just like, you know, in the audios that you listen to or anything, it's like interactions with people within the community. Everybody wants to make sure that everything's okay before you do anything. And like, even if your conversation's starting to get spicy, there's all kinds of check-ins and stuff. And it's just like, that alone makes up for, you know, my awkward 20s or whatever, where I wasn't really sure that I wanted to be with that person, but I did anyway, like, or, you know, any of that awkward like insecureness or insecurity that can come with being like sexual at any in any way. It's like, I don't know, it just feels so much more supportive and welcoming,
acceptable.
I
totally get what you're saying, actually, now that I think about it. 20s, I would I'm done. I'm done with my 20s, clearly. But yeah, that, and that awkwardness. But then I have to wonder, and maybe I need to speak to a 20-something, that it's a very different climate these days.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
And, but I get what you're saying. That's awesome that you've discovered that, and you're rediscovering now through what
you're doing.
Right,
it's so nice to, like, not – instead of just being jealous of, you know, younger people who are getting out to go to Pound Town or whatever. like freewheeling fancy free youngsters out there. well, like, this is, instead of just living vicariously, it's more interactive. Just like being in this space is like, I get to live those fantasies in a little bit more of a real way.
Yeah.
Than just by myself. Cause all you people are listening and all the awesome people that I listen to. And it's great.
And I didn't know about this space until a couple of years ago, and I kind of feel a little bit ripped off, a little bit denied. Just like, what the damn hell? Why did nobody tell me? But I'm so grateful, and I think it's probably why I'm a bit of a loudmouth about it. Because whoever wants to know, I wish, guess what? There's this stuff, and you know, because it also has that capacity to be, you know, on a whole nother level, therapeutic, I think, and cathartic, right. And form those connections and that that level of care and comfort. But yeah, we're random people on the internet moaning into microphones, but right. There's clearly a lot. It's clearly a lot more than that.
Right.
I don't know about the messages you get. Have you had? I'm assuming. I know you have. You know, positive responses from people.
Yeah.
In general. Yeah. Anything like in terms of your interactions with listeners, has that been pretty much all positive? I mean, has there been a point where you've had to say, whoa, no, or, you know, sort of pull people up at all?
No, I think for the most part, it's been a really positive experience. I think, like, I don't have any socials posted on my profile or anything like that I have anything, like, even just the messages and chats, if I don't want to engage with someone, I just don't, and that's really like the easiest way to do it. Anybody who sends me a chat, I'm gonna look at their profile first to try and get an idea, make sure, see if I can at least guess that they're over 18. And you know, I have some personal rules that, like, if there's I'm sorry, but if your profile's just covered in penises, I'm probably not going to respond to you.
Absolutely.
Sorry. Especially if your first interaction with me is like, your voice is hot, like, okay, thank you.
Where does that? I've actually had one this morning. I'm the same. It's like, you need, if you're going to message me, you need to come at me with some sort of, you know, something more than like, oh my god, I came to your voice, you know, and that's it.
High five you.
Yeah, that's not going to engage me at all. If you say, hey, look, I appreciate what you're sharing. I really enjoyed this and this about it. And, you know, thank you. And you recognize the difference between me, the creator, and me, the person. Right. That's different. You know, that I will probably go, yeah, thank you. Thanks very much for saying thanks. If you just, somebody asked me this morning, would you review my nudes? and it was a polite, no, thank you.
Right.
Oh, you can keep the artwork to yourself. That's not for me.
You gotta work up to that point.
don't just jump in from the get-go.
Save me a little bit, and then I'll look at your nudes.
And I guess that's where sort of establishing your boundaries and your limits, and what you're comfortable with, and enforcing them. Thankfully, I haven't really had to enforce them. How about you? Have there been points where you've had to address listeners?
No, not really, not yet. Okay. Anytime that something comes up that I'm not comfortable doing or like answering or whatever, I just say I'm not comfortable with that. And that's another thing that I've noticed, is I just put the brakes on it, and they put the brakes on it, and that's fine, and we can get back into our conversation or whatever. Or you know, they're like, all right, that's all I wanted, and I don't talk to them again. It's still really, I don't know, I haven't had any like really negative experiences yet, but I know other people have, just because women on the internet tend to experience those things.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's reality of it, isn't it?
Right. But
Yeah. Well, that's good that you haven't really had to address that. And I'm just going to tap my head, knock on wood, and we'll go from there. With regards to the comments, the content that you create, are you primarily script fills or entirely script fills aside from a ramble fab, which, you know, obviously we don't write a script for that. But yeah, what sort of content do you create, and do you sit in particular genres or, you know, kinks or scenarios, or yeah, what do you share?
So I mostly do script fills. I've done some ramble fabs, and I did one improvisation. But even then it was like I had kind of planned it out. I knew what I wanted to do and what I wanted to say. And I even came up with the jokes that I was going to make.
love that. So bit of humor.
I don't know how improvised that was. but for the most part, I do script fills. And the things that I fill tend to be just things that I enjoy. I like going out and finding scripts that haven't been filled to give them some love.
Love it.
Especially if it's like a newer author or writer. Mm-hmm. I don't know, whatever you guys like to be called.
Yeah.
Or somebody that might have a bunch of scripts that haven't been filled. I'll pick one of those. I like to go in the unfilled scripts post on backstage.
Yeah.
And find something there. And because I'm not here for the listens or anything like that. I'm just here to have a good time. And if I can make the writer of the script feel good with my fill, then awesome.
Yeah. So it's really not about, for you, your motivation, your drive isn't for sort of max exposure and, you know, mm-hmm. developing a profile and establishing yourself as a, you know, creator. For numbers wise. And
yeah.
Yeah, I think I noticed that. For those of you who are listening, Pirate and I did our first. Was it our first collab a couple of weeks ago? Was that our first? We'd done
the Blowjob Train.
Yeah, we're in the Blowjob Train.
Or the Sorority Sisters.
Yes, and where we?
I think that's.
We weren't Kool Aid. We're a different Kool Aid groups, weren't we?
Right, we're two different Kool Aids.
God, still makes me laugh. This Slut's Life. Wow, what a fantastic production.
Oh my gosh, that's people love it, and that's awesome. I'm so proud of that and how well it turned out, and just the positivity that's coming from that, people talking like it's a real podcast.
Right.
This is amazing. Thank you.
I want to say Count Kyoto, is that right?
Yes, off Count the top Kyoto. Of my head.
Yeah, thank you. I'm clearly here for a podcast type script. I really enjoyed working with you in that, and just and this is what I love about this whole sort of space, getting to know other creators, obviously in this sort of format, but also in a creative way as well, to create something together. Mm-hmm. and not know them. So you're liking the whole collaborative process, I understand.
Oh yeah, I think you might know a little bit about it.
Pirate and I are on a collaborative Discord server, so yes, and I jokingly mentioned with her the other day that if they so there are a number of different collab projects at any given moment, and in sort of moderating,
I'm
that
involved with most point. Of them. I'm the slut. I'm like into orgies. That's really what it is. Like, I'm all about the group.
She's here about the group aesthetic, the dynamic, and I jokingly said if there was a collab whore of the month, that would be you.
Yeah,
and I actually I'd own that. I'm just like yeah,
hell yeah.
Like getting it on with people on a microphone.
I love it.
You're really good at it too. It's just I'm glad it's been received so well, and like there is so many collabs, you know, out there that in the last sort of 6 months it's really sort of exploded, I think with content. So aside from that, the type of content that you create for your solo work, mm-hmm. are you leaning into sort of different topics or, like I say, genres or kinks or, you know, scenarios?
I kind of accidentally started doing a lot of FDOM stuff, which I, because I fucking love it. Oh my God, you sound like, oh my God.
Part needs a moment.
I have started a little bit of that. I have a collection of like saved FDOM scripts, but I'm also trying to broaden my horizons a little bit and do things that are I don't know, a little out of the ordinary. Like I did one the taste. Oh my God, I can't remember names. I'm so bad with names. That's a Touch good. Of Taste. That by like Noid Throwaway to GWA. I
think that's
but it's like a restaurant experience where there's sex involved. So it's like not, you know, specifically any sort of kink other than, I guess, a food thing. But like I just like finding things that are interesting and that also turn me on and then performing them to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
Oh, you subby boys. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, the whole FDOM thing, you know, I relate to. I get it.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you haven't sort of dipped your toe in that you are kind of, you know, excited about or planning to record in the future?
I mean, I haven't, oh gosh, just because there's like so many different things that I've started doing. I don't have any sort of hard limits other than like incest stuff, which I think is sort of common theme. But like I did a script for Ryan Fishy that was a water sports one, and because he's funny I'm not necessarily into water sports, but I thought that the script was funny and like sort of wholesome because she ends up getting into it at the end, and I'm like open to anything really. It's like I'm definitely I broke the dam and I'm just swimming around in all this porn and I love it.
Sorry, so my brain's just gone water sports, broke the dam, swimming around in it.
I have a theme apparently.
Oh, that's great, because I get what you're saying with the amount of scripts that are out there and the diversity of what's, you know, what we get, it's like a smorgasbord of, you know, beautifully depraved scenes that I want to wallow around in. I get what you're saying, this whole sort of swim in it. Okay, so FDOM is kind of where you're at, but so you are sort of pushing yourself and exploring different areas?
Oh yeah, FDOM is definitely a kink that was unlocked for me when I started when I started performing. In my day-to-day, I guess I was always more submissive. That was the way that I always tended to interact with my partners. And then I did a funny tray bake script, and I got all these subby boys locked in chastity for me. Yes. And I was like, it was like my world opened up. And it's just so like I like to pursue that just because it's this new thing. It's like that I got this new baby doll that I need to play with all the time.
Oh, those good boys.
And they're good by moms.
Hello. So so not a professional podcast. With regards to your process, how often each week or how often are you creating content?
So since my husband knows, I can pretty much do anything in the evenings after the kids are asleep, because they don't understand. They just don't get it. Kids just don't understand, man.
In general, that's just a general public service announcement. Kids don't understand, all right? Let it be known.
They don't get porn. They don't understand it. So once everybody's tucked in and I've got some quiet time, I can go record some things. So it's really whenever I say I want to, and you know, lately that's been a lot because I'm in all the collabs. I still make time for my husband and stuff. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
But I've been trying to get like one thing out a week because I have all this other life stuff.
Sure.
But I don't want to necessarily nail myself down to that either. And a lot of times that one thing that comes out might just be the collab that got finished. But I also don't want to overdo it. Like this week, I've been posting something every day for like the past 3 days.
Yeah.
But it's all been stuff that either I had just finished editing because editing takes forever. Or that didn't require anything. And yeah, I know.
Yeah. So sort of roughly once a week, and it's great to not be beholden to a set schedule or a certain level of commitment. So you mentioned editing. So you edit your own work?
Yep.
Right. Is that a skill that you've had to learn since beginning to record, or is that something you already had experience with?
Yeah, no, I had no idea. I had no idea what I was doing. I still don't really know what I'm doing. I'm just kind of smashing buttons and hoping that it doesn't sound like shit.
Oh no, it sounds
good.
And
then I download sound effects. And it doesn't sound like shit when I put it all together. But I also I definitely spend way too much time. That's probably another reason why I can only put up one thing a week. Because if I'm adding sound effects and trying to make sure that my squishy sounds are squishy enough. then I might spend like 10 to 15 hours editing a thing. So when you just I'm also like an intense perfectionist and I want to make sure that it sounds perfect. Wow. And sometimes I make my husband listen and he's like, please stop making me listen to this.
I am not your beta listener. Okay.
Just can you please stop? He was also, especially when I was first doing it, he was he was a videographer for a while. So I was definitely like, can you listen to this?
Can you just tell me if this sounds,
because editing a little bit, yeah. You'd be like, oh,
God damn it. Please. Fine. Yeah.
Please listen to me moaning at people talking about sucking cocks.
Please. It's not a big ask. It's really not.
It's just like 10 minutes.
Okay. So you've had to sort of find your own way with it then.
Yeah. But there's so many great resources available throughout the community that it's been a blast to find that out. And
yeah.
People are always so willing to help too. That's great. It's been a lot of fun.
It's really is very supportive, isn't it? You throw a question out there and you might get five or six different answers, but at least there's always someone, right? Who's
right.
Willing to just go, yeah, I do this, or why don't you try this? Or I'm loving that aspect of the community and the creator community specifically. Really, really good. Where do you record your naughty audio?
In my bedroom.
Cool.
So, magic happens.
Yeah. Yeah, the magic, all the magic.
all the magic.
Do you have a setup, or just like, I think for the first, I don't know, sort of 3 months, I was sat on my bed, moaning into my phone. What does your space look like?
So at first I just used my phone, and I wouldn't. Like I would edit on my computer or with the Rambles apps and just throw it up. You get what you get with those.
Yeah.
I would like up transfer it to my computer and do the editing there. But now I got myself a little shitty microphone and that's plugged into my computer. So it sounds a little bit better than just yelling into my phone. Although there's still a learning curve. Like I recorded a couple audios the other day and my microphone is, it's one of those cardioid microphones, so that doesn't hear the things behind it, and I had it backwards, okay. Of course. So yeah, everything kind of sounds like I'm yelling into a can, so I might have to redo the other one.
Yeah, but yeah, but you've developed sort of the editing skills to sort of take care of that.
Oh, I have no idea what I'm doing. No, like I don't know how to fix that. I'm just gonna do it again. Plus, I think like,
oh, okay,
at a certain point, when like it would just be faster to do it again,
yeah.
Instead of like messing with all the effects and trying to boost the levels and yeah. Do the equalizer, and 3 hours later it still sounds like I'm in a can. I could have redone it in 10 minutes.
Do you know what, darling? I have to tell you, I was exactly the same for the longest time. I was just like, oh, fuck it. I'm just going to start again, you know, because a dog would bark, or, you know, or, right. or I'd bump the microphone, or I was just like, oh, God, damn, right. Or I'd make a mistake. But there are a handful of little things that have made my life, because I don't edit, but I do clip, some things. There are.
Oh, yeah.
I do some very, very basic things that just like, okay, all right.
The easy stuff is like snipping out that thing where I said, ouch,
yeah.
Or whatever. Like, just like sneeze right in the middle of it.
Shut the dog up, will you? Just like, can you just walk quietly out there? Yeah. Yeah, I get it. Is that something you want to further develop your editing skills and yeah, go into? Like I'm at the moment, I'm trying to sort of learn about binaural creation, and just like, oh yeah, I don't know, I'm a bit overwhelmed. I get quite overwhelmed with it. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, no, just not doing it. Not doing it. But actually, a project that we're on together, I have to do it for my role in it. So, and I guess when push comes to shove, I'm more determined to do it because I want to make it the best I can. And I do edit for collabs. I do that because I think it's not just me. You know, I generally don't. But yeah, for that one, that collab we're doing at the moment, fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's pushing me to learn new stuff and I'm excited for it. I wonder with your, you know, where you may go and sort of further develop with that.
I'm definitely like into learning about the editing side of this. And because it's just so it's such a cool part of this whole aspect. Like the recording's great and all, but taking the little pieces and putting them together to make a whole immersive experience for somebody that like it's just so, it's so cool to be able to take all that and make it into one thing. And even though it might take me 10 hours or whatever to finish it, it's a 20 minute piece.
Yeah.
It's still like probably more than one person is going to enjoy it. And they're going to actually feel like they're there at the restaurant or in the cave or
yeah.
whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, nothing against not having all those things either, because
sure.
I listen to plenty of audios where there's no sound effects. It's just yeah. just the VA and their voice, and it's like it's still super hot. It's just like I like to create the experience that to go with what I'm imagining,
yeah.
to sort of bring you there with me. And you know, I need to learn how to edit in order to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
So I'm just kind of fumbling my way through the dark here, but I'm learning as I'm going, and I feel like my audios as a result are just getting better in quality once I figure out which way to put my microphone.
You know, someone once said to me, gave me a very simple tip when I was recording into my phone, just angle it 45 degrees and you're going to, you know, get rid of a lot of those sort of breath sounds. And I just thought, wow, that's such a simple thing to do. But at the time, you don't know what you don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's no primer on how to make your own erotic audios anywhere. I mean, you can try and search through the subreddits for tips and tricks. Do your homework before you start recording obsessively like I did. I looked for like 3 days before I even did anything. Nothing's gonna just beat just doing it and yeah. learning as you go, because it's not like it I have not had anybody say this is garbage. Why do you?
Yeah,
do
exactly.
This?
Well, yeah, as there, yeah.
There have been some less than supportive comments some things. I mean, it's not like anything super negative or anything. It's just like, this was pretty good, or no, that's even a nice thing to say. That's a nice thing to say. What's wrong with you, pirate? What are your standards? Jeez,
Jesus, God, it's kind of a big deal now, people.
What a bitch! You get 400 followers, and suddenly you're super famous. God!
Don't you know who I am? I had someone say to me once, and I think I've said this before in a chat. It hurt my ears. It was too loud, and my response was, "Turn it down."
Just the volume button on your phone or computer.
Turn it down, But yeah, I was chatting with a friend recently, and for any sort of negative and not entirely negative, but not encouraging or not supportive comments, that they received, they said, "Well, here's your free refund for your free audio porn." And right. I thought, that is gold.
Let me give you your money back. Speak to the manager. This isn't my thing, I think, is the most negative comment. It's like, why did you take the time?
Well, you just lost 20 minutes of your life for something that's not your thing, do you? Just like, read the tags.
Did you stop it? Did you stop it like 5 minutes in? Did you wait the whole time to see if you then get into it?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about your
your free audio porn that you were unsatisfied.
This free content that you didn't have to pay for.
That's right. Yeah, I'm sorry, this isn't about you. Just that whole sort of concept. Yeah, I think early on I had a couple of people say not very nice things, and I just said there's no value add in that. There's no benefit. Right. I'm sorry, I did not ask your opinion, that sort of opinion. If you read my blurb, it says constructive feedback. Constructive. Right.
Point your microphone in the right direction would be great.
Gosh. One thing I did want to have a chat with you about, something that you posted a few weeks ago that I was really sort of quite sort of taken aback with and quite overwhelmed with. And I think I know I sort of retweeted it and, try to hype it as much as I could, was your 1 year charity bump exercise raffle. For those who aren't aware of what you did and what you shared with the space and what you put out there, can you explain a little bit about that?
Sure. So a year ago, on the 15th, happy anniversary. Yep. I had an extreme suicidal event, and ended up self-admitting to a psychiatric hospital for a week so that I could start getting better. And up to that point, I'd just been dealing with my depression myself. Like, it was just sort of a fake it till you make it. That was my mentality as far as my mental health was concerned. Between being a mom and I lost my job at the beginning of the pandemic, and they hired me back, but I never stopped feeling like I was still expendable to them.
Right.
So there was all like job anxiety, and on top of that, just the pandemic, and like the vaccines weren't available to everybody yet. And I have health problems that made me terrified to leave my house. So it was just all this stuff. And it finally it just became too much, and I couldn't.
Wow, John.
I couldn't. I think what I said was, I can't find any more reasons to stay alive. And that was when I told my husband, I'm having a crisis, you got to come home. And he stayed with me. We should have called 911 and gotten me into an emergency room that night instead of waiting a day. But I didn't feel like I was valuable enough to waste anyone's time.
Exactly. That's a bit of a catch 22, isn't it? It's like, well, I'm not worthy right. enough to need to warrant that. That's being a bit dramatic.
I'm not important enough. I'm not actually killing myself right now. I just wish that I were dead. So even though, you know, had I had the time to be alone or whatever, I would have taken those steps. I was like, no, I'm not alone. So
I'm okay.
I don't need this emergency service, but so, you know, if you have anybody in crisis in your life, just go ahead and call the hospital and just send them to the ER. They'll work it out. It's fine. Everybody's worth it. Again, it's not like anybody else in my home had gone through any of this. So, you know, he didn't know what to do. He just made sure he stayed with me until I could talk to someone else. So I went to a psychiatric hospital and it was actually a really amazing place to be. Cause it's like, it wasn't, so I was worried that it was going to be like, you know, one flew over the cuckoo's nest or
We all have our sort of preconceived ideas about what a psych hospital is going to look like.
Going to be like, there's just lots of yelling and people punching themselves or whatever, it wasn't like that. It was the people there were super supportive and would talk to you about anything, and it wasn't just the counselors or the social workers, it was the other patients that were there too, and like they wanted to know why you were there, and they would say that sucks, and they might be the only people who identify with this like darkness that you're experiencing, and they can say that sucks that you're in this place, and maybe that's all you need is just someone to be like, ah, that sucks, do you want to watch some TV with me? And there's like no pressure to be anybody else around them, so
you are just you. You're not a mother. You're not a wife. You're not an employee. You're not, you know, someone's best friend. Yeah. You are just there for you.
Right. And it was, it's hospital grade food or whatever, but I didn't have to cook it. So it was all It was like the worst spa vacation of my life, but it was so needed. the room, you know, it was a like rubber mattress with just one blanket, but it ended up being super comfortable and being some of the best sleep that I got in months because I didn't have to worry about anybody else.
Brilliant.
When I came up to a year, the first 3 months after being out of the hospital were still pretty rocky because I was getting used to my medication and having a lot of anxiety attacks and stuff. Because it was like, I heard an analogy once that was, if you're driving along and you're throwing all your trash in the back of the car, because you're going to just deal with it later. And then you hit the brakes, or you hit a wall, all that trash is going to come flying up to the front of the car and be there with you. So all these things that I was pushing down emotionally, they just completely flooded when I finally had like a break. So I had a lot of issues that I had to deal with and had some really excellent therapy and some great time with family, that ended up helping, rebalance my whole life. And then, I'm on medication, yay drugs, yay serotonin, reuptake inhibitors. the value that I hold life at now is so much higher than it's ever been. And I decided that for my 1 year anniversary of staying alive, I wanted to encourage people to donate to mental health organizations and tell my story with strangers on the internet, because you never know. You never know who's going to need to hear that someone else made it through, that like that darkness sucks, but you're worth it. You
will overcome. Listening. Yeah.
Yeah. You're worth working for a better life, and you can be happy. You can be content. It's not like a cop out or anything, you know, it's not
at all. No.
You don't have to.
Do you find it's changed, like that, the climate of mental well-being and the openness and the availability of support and resources, and just that it's not a stigma as much as, you know, you and I are of a certain age that it was when we're in our 20s.
Right.
You know, we can talk openly and it's accepted. And and it's amazing to me every time this comes up, somebody will always say, oh yeah, I felt that too. Or I was like, yeah, I get that. Yeah. And like you said, you don't know who's reading your words, so, you know, that you're very, you know, generously sharing, but I totally understand you wanting to share that, because that could be a single lifeline for somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
So with what did you offer then? I'm having a look at it now here on your profile, but for people.
I said, if you donate $25, I'll record you an audio.
Nice.
And if you donate $50, I will let you control my Love Ends vibe, because I figured, whatever.
Yeah. That's a win-win.
Right? Like, that could be sexy times, and it wasn't going to just be like 5 minutes or whatever. And like, I figured I could record that time together, or we could have a voice chat or something. So it could be super hot. That I just thought that would be like using sex to sell mental health was like very on brand for Pirate.
yeah. And how did that go? How was it received? What sort of response did you get?
Well, I got some really great messages from people from that. Like, I don't know if everybody donated and just chose not to tell me or what have you, but as far as the conversations that I ended up having with people as a result of sharing were really all what I wanted to get out of it anyway. Because if sharing that information can help one person, then that's enough. And I really had some really great interactions with people that I think didn't just help me feel better about choosing to share that information. Not that I regret it in any way. It was just more of a, I made the right choice. But may have also helped them feel better about their own situations and help them feel like they're not alone.
Yeah. What a wonderful thing for you to have done, and for you to get benefit out of it as well, but in sharing your story and what happened for you, but to sort of help support the organizations or the industry that supported you, you know, sort of pay that forward and have an open dialogue and open conversation about something. Yeah. It doesn't get much more real than that.
Right.
Yeah. So that's, I hats off to you. I think that it was very courageous and incredibly admirable. And I hope that, it had the effect that you were hoping. It sounds like it did. And I guess that sort of brings me around to the question, as VAs or those of us who develop a following or I don't know, an established profile, what is our responsibility, or is there, do we have a responsibility? Because we talk about, you know, free audio, and it's like, here's your free refund for your free audio if you didn't like it. But in terms of utilizing our platform, once we get to, you know, a significant number of followers, or I have my own sort of personal thoughts on that, but what do you think about that, in that you have utilized your platform to address a social issue?
Right. So I don't think it's my place to necessarily say that anybody that has a platform should use it, necessarily, for, especially when it comes to stuff like this. Cause it's, like, I don't want to insist that anybody have any sort of obligation. I just know that, like, there are things that I'm passionate about that I will totally yell about to the detriment of others. When it comes to like mental health or social justice issues or anything like that, like I'll just go on and on. And I don't, I could be one person listening. It could be 10,000. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Like, I don't feel like, I feel like not being a dick is a pretty good message for,
yep.
for people with a lot of followers to,
yeah.
You know, spread. But it's at the same time, like I'm not in the shoes of somebody who has, you know, a lot of, I guess, fans or
yeah.
listeners or what yeah. have you. So I don't know the types of pressure. And I also know that sharing personal information like that can make more people want to be, think that you're their best friend.
Yes, I was wondering
which
that.
Which can establish like weird boundary issues. Like I want to support you and be a good listener. But at the same time, I can't be a good friend to every single person who wants to tell me their whole life story. Like I'll listen, but I can't listen to you every day. Like I can't, I'm sorry.
Yeah. yeah.
I can't be your best friend.
Absolutely. And whether it's a time constraint or an energy or just like, I don't have the capacity to do that. Right. That's not my role here. I just want to moan into a mic, you know, and make people feel good because it makes me feel mm-hmm. good. But yeah, that the social aspect of it and that, you know, is there a level of responsibility? And my personal opinion is no, I am here for me primarily. Mm-hmm. That's drives me. And if people get some sort of benefit out of what I'm sharing, then fantastic. That is, that is brilliant, but I cannot be your best friend. My quota is full. My bandwidth is full. My emotional capacity is full.
Yeah. Then talk to 30 people a day. I'm sorry. I love you. You're great.
Yeah. Yeah. But here's my therapy. My audio porn. That's my therapy for you. You know, that's
listen
my
to this.
Yeah. It's what my audios are for, right?
Don't. Yeah.
And I feel like that you know, particularly, gosh, I don't know if you've experienced this. I have a little bit, but I'm feeling that genre of FDOM. There is mm-hmm. an inherent sort of nurturing, caring, mm-hmm. Maternal aspect of it. I think for me there is, at least. I wonder, you know, if we are more easily approached because we fill those sorts of roles or those sorts of scripts, and people can sort of forget where that line is between the creator and the person. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's something that is a fine line that I've had to walk to. Especially with like having, I don't want to give too much away,
sure.
But having mm-hmm. people locked in chastity for me, like mm-hmm. I don't want any of them to feel like I don't value them.
Sure.
But I also don't have time for all of them. But like
it's a fine line, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And for the people that I do interact with, at the end of it all, I don't want them to feel like, all right, bye, deuces, I'll see you never.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, like I don't have time to engage with every single person every day mm-hmm. that I've done these things with. Mm-hmm. Because I also have a job and, you know, responsibilities at home. And if my job could be making good boys feel good, I would love it. But nobody wants to pay me for that.
God damn it.
They don't.
Well, the job exists. Can I tell you? It is out there. But, you know, how if that's going
to
support your family.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I find it difficult to say no. I just struggle with that.
Yeah.
I need to enforce that. And I'm working on it. But yeah, I do understand. We are not therapists.
Right. No, I am so unlicensed. Oh my God. Don't listen to me or any of my advice, please.
Shit, don't listen to me.
I talk out of my ass so much. Please.
Just trying to keep my own shit in a pile, all right? I can't manage yours as well.
I just got my own shit together.
Yeah, entirely,
And even
entirely.
then,
And even then, it's questionable, right? So,
apparently, you know, in Cat in the Hat, when he's got all that shit balanced on like
yeah.
his two hands, there's like teacups and the fish in the bowl.
Yeah.
That's about where I am.
Pirate's still got a fish in a bowl. The fish is still alive.
Right.
So, right. So just
He's
don't
still in
push
the
it.
bowl.
Don't push
It hasn't fallen out into the teacup yet.
it. She's good for now. Don't push it. Oh, listen, thank you so much for sitting down and talking to your microphone with me today.
Oh, my
It's
pleasure.
yeah, I've really enjoyed sort of getting to know a little bit more about your process and what drives
Yeah.
you. And I again, man, hats off to your social consciousness and being and sharing that, and you know, for the betterment of, you know, who knows how many people,
Right.
if
Well, it
not
really just,
yourself.
it all kind of comes down to helping people feel good. You know, I either moan
Yeah.
into a mic and help you feel all tingly from
Yeah.
telling you that you're sexy or a
Yeah.
good boy, or I'm
Yeah.
telling you that you're valid and that your opinions matter and that, you know,
Yeah.
you're worth sticking around for.
Yeah. Definitely.
So.
Definitely. So where can people find you? I will obviously link to your Reddit page. Are you elsewhere that people can interact with you, or is it primarily
Yeah.
Reddit?
I'm just on the Reddits.
Okay.
I don't have any
Yeah.
other sort of
Okay.
social
Socials,
needs.
yep.
Is that how the kids
Cool,
say
cool. Well, people can find you
it?
there. And I notice your charity post is still up there. Is that something you're going to leave there? Because I'm looking at the different, whilst, you know, the whole event or raffle status of it is complete. There is still, you've got some really good links on there for the suicide prevention line and other charities where people can support. So if anybody's looking for that, it's under the Charity is Sexy post on Pirate's profile on Reddit. And
Yeah, for sure.
yeah, you know, if you need there is support available there. And I'm assuming that is within America, am I right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I yeah, yeah, because I said if there's an organization in your country that you'd like to support, go ahead and do that. And I
Yeah.
did have one person send me like a picture of a receipt from a donation to an organization in their country. So
Brilliant.
like honestly,
Brilliant.
it's it and if it can even just be, it doesn't have to necessarily just be mental health, but
Yeah.
something important to you that makes your mental health better, that's fine too. And honestly, maybe my raffle ended, but just at me or whatever. Talk to me.
There we
I might
go.
figure something out. I don't know, baby, what you got?
Whoa, I like
I
it. I like it. I like it. All
mean,
right.
also I'm busy, so just remember that.
She's managing that fish has got to stay in the bowl, people. So oh, thanks so much, Pirate. This has just been delightful, and I'm just really grateful to have spent some time with you today. So thank you. I
Oh,
look
thank you.
forward to seeing you in the wild.